Welcome to Manager Tools. Feedback, when yes means no. Part one. This cast answers these questions. What do I do when my directs don't seem open to feedback? Do directs have to accept feedback? What do I do when directs have a bad attitude? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Are you looking for more insights into your team's performance? Wondering if they're doing one-on-ones? Want to see some data? Roadmap and Enterprise can do that for you. Your entire team can use Roadmap to track their Trinity behaviors, and then you get insight into where relationships are lagging, communication is failing, or where things are going really well. Sign up for Roadmap and Enterprise today by contacting Maggie at maggie@managertools.com.
I've had it happen to me. I was going to say a million times, but that would sound like Mark Horseman, and I'd sound like a high eye, so I won't say a million times, but it's happened to me many times when I ask somebody, a direct, if I can give them some feedback, and they say yes, but it's pretty darn clear they don't mean it.
Yeah, and in some cases, they are playing a game with you. They say yes because they're bowing to your role power, when in fact, they're intending for you to know that they don't want it. Yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah.
It's,
and part of me, if they say yes, wants to drive a truck through that loophole and give them the feedback. And I did that once or twice. And
it worked out really well.
So
that's the beauty of experience, right?
There you go. So folks, if it happens to you and you want to, well, listen to the rest of this cast and then decide what you want to do.
Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's an old joke that a professor says to an English class. In the English language, a double negative means a positive. I can't not go means I must go, right? On the other hand, the professor says a double positive never means a negative. And a snarky student in the back row chimes in and says, yeah, right.
Disproving what the professor just said.
Yeah. Now, look, most managers, most directs, most professionals spend entirely too much time focusing only on words. And words are one part of the behavioral interactions you have with people. And they're a huge part, but they're not all of it. And we tend to notice when there are other behaviors in the mix, when the behaviors that are nonverbal, or let's say not words, so the how you say those words, the tone and pace and so on, the facial expressions and the body language and so on, and even potentially the work product associated with it, are not in harmony, shall we say. And look, directs do this all the time. They say they'll accept feedback. They say the word. And by the way, if they're really being snarky, they said, no, after you push back, you say, well, no, then I'm not going to give you feedback when they're being snarky. And they say, no, I said yes. You know, the answer to that is, no, you didn't. you said the word. But anyway, they're basically proving by their associated behaviors they won't accept it. And what do you do here? Do we believe their words? Do we give them feedback? I think we've already learned from our intro, no. their other behaviors are telling us what we need to know. Or do we trust our instincts, which we generally recommend you do, and your instincts are drawing from their nonverbal behaviors, and you hold back? And our recommendation is you hold back. So here's our outline. It's only two steps because the third step, which was originally in this guidance, became its own podcast, which we'll talk about maybe next week.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure this will be a one-parter. And before I begin with the outline, I have to call out a recent exchange I had with a virtual effective manager conference attendee by the name of Kim Pike. Kim wrote me about a situation that she was having with a direct who wasn't responding in a professional way. And I said, well, that's funny because I'm just writing that cast. So I said, I'd give her a shout out, dedicate the cast to her because she's a real manager facing this real issue. So Kim, this one's for you. Okay. So outline, simple. folks, this is much less likely, this issue of people direct saying yes, but meaning no. It's much less likely if you follow our never introduce rule. Okay. If you do the Trinity rollout right, if you do it as a marathon and not as a sprint, if you plan on taking a year and you see this as a long-term campaign as opposed to a chance to make a difference today, you will dot your I's and cross your T's, and your directs will know enough to not play this unprofessional, crappy attitude game of saying, yeah, sure, but not really meaning it. And then the second point, and we'll go through detailed descriptions of what to say and how to say it, but in a nutshell, if you don't believe your directs, that they are open to the feedback you're about to give them about the future, don't give it. Don't play their game.
Right.
Because that's what they're doing. They're wanting you to play their game. And they know you have role power over them, and so they're going to use snark and attitude and plausible deniability. They'll tell their HR friends, I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. Well, look, we found that I'd say probably 90%, if not more, of the problem goes away if you roll out feedback the way we talk about rolling out feedback.
Yeah.
So if you want to avoid this, you're like, you got 90% probability probably of just completely avoiding this problem.
Yeah.
If you do it Look, right.
So this cast is really, for most people who are listening, it's going to be, oh, they're going to tell me what to say when my direct gets snarky. Yeah, we'll do that. But you know, that's like having to go to the doctor because you have a headache. The solution is not get a headache. The solution to healthcare is wellness. Okay. That's the solution. Avoiding the doctor is a way to stay healthy. I know that sounds a cause and effect backwards, but that's how you don't have healthcare problems, is you pursue a path of wellness. You don't just live your life and then get sick. You live a life of wellness, and then you really don't get sick nearly as often. But I would go a step further, Mike. You mentioned briefing everybody about feedback beforehand. But you know what? You know what's even better? Briefing them about one-on-ones first and doing the one-on-ones following the Trinity rollout. If you brief everybody and then you go through the 12 weeks and you say to them, hey, look, here's the Trinity rollout. And, you know, I'm going to walk you through what we're going to do on one-on-ones. I'm doing one-on-ones. Okay. Get on board. I love you. Get on board. And we're going to do it for a number of weeks before I introduce another thing that's going to help us get even better in terms of our performance.
Well, the salve of the relationship does wonders, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And look, if I do that briefing and then I give resources that people can use and then I answer questions and then I maybe talk even more about the one-on-ones during the one-on-ones, if I have followed this process, when I get to feedback, and then they see me following the process again, it sends a message about the level of professionalism we've put in, we managers, us, have put into this process we're taking our team through.
Did you hear? Manager Tools is now holding effective remote manager sessions. If you're out there using the Manager Tools Trinity, have been recently forced to use it remotely, or if your team's struggling, relationships are degrading, and you're noticing a decrease in your remote team's effectiveness. In fact, if you've been out there remotely this entire time and want to learn more about remote management effectiveness and the use of the Trinity at a distance, visit manager-tools.com/training to register today.
So I like to call this the never introduce rule. Our never introduce rule says never introduce a change to how you manage people without first taking the time to introduce that change before you actually make it. That's a pretty long rule title. I think Wendy and I are capturing all the rules, and we're going to create an application or something that will allow people to review Horstman's rules. But we were actually thinking, Mike, about Monopoly cards. Monopoly cards are very distinctive, right? We may do that digitally rather than physically printing them during this time of COVID and cost elimination. But maybe we ought to call this rule the use your turn signal for heaven's sakes rule, right? Like before you change lanes, tell people you're going to change lanes. This is not rocket science.
Yeah, please, folks. I know this is a management cast, but
yeah,
would you please, folks, just use your turn signals? It drives me crazy. Yeah. All right, sorry.
Especially if you're in the left lane and there's no left turn lane and you don't have your, yeah, and you stop. And you, dude, seriously, grow up. Look, the majority of problems we hear about managers relative to implementing our guidance was when managers don't follow the guidance about rolling out the Trinity slowly. You'll way reduce the likelihood. Mike says 90%, but he's a high C. He called me out for being a high I for using words like a million, which, by the way, Mike, everybody else in the world understands to mean a lot. It's called puffery. And in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court actually supports puffery. So, all right, wait. Hold on a second. I want to just a little aside here, folks. I think I used the word million, and Mike just said 10 to the sixth. Did you?
I did, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
So 10 to the second is 100. 10 to the third is 1,000. 10 to the fourth is 10,000. 10 to the fifth is 100,000. And 10 to the sixth is 1,000,000. He did it right, folks. I think that's good.
Did you think I did it wrong? Did you think I would say something I wasn't absolutely confident in?
I think it's a classic high C move to use powers of 10 to describe numbers that are in the common vernacular.
Yeah, I'm a high C, but I'm not that smart. And so I just, yeah. You know, a lot, okay. When you start having lots of zeros, it's really tough.
Yeah, oh, lots of zeros. I actually like lots of zeros. Or as they like to say in Britain, lots of knots. Okay. You will reduce the likelihood of even your poorly motivated and surlier, snarkiest direct reports if you brief them in advance of what they're going to hear when you give them feedback or what they're going to experience when you do one-on-ones, and then also tell them why you're doing it. I mean, guys, do what you would want your boss to do. We'll come back to Horstmann's middleman test later. Right? What would you want your boss to do? Just suddenly change and not tell you anything? Jeez, it makes you wonder, how should I know how I'm supposed to respond? I don't. Now I feel bad. Like he's doing something, she's doing something completely normal, but I don't even know it's normal. I've never heard of this behavior before. And now I feel double bad because I don't know what to do. And I think I'm supposed to know what to do. So take the time to give your team a briefing that you're going to talk about their performance differently with them than you have in the past. Now, look, your resistors, the people who are always a problem, are going to read this kind of preparation of a greater certainty. They're going to see it as a greater certainty and confidence about what you're doing, that you feel good about it. And let me tell you something else. Everybody's always telling me, you know, I worry about this guy or that guy, whatever. Stop worrying about this guy or that guy. If 90% of your team is good and one of them is a problem, lead your team from the front. Do the things that your best people want and let the other people snark and complain and so on and consider them a special case. Stop trying to roll out something that everybody will be happy with. I don't want everybody to be happy. I want my poorest performers to be unhappy. I do. I want them to feel like they need to change their behavior in order to get on board with the metrics, the standards, the results, the respect for other people that are required to be a part of this organization. I don't think, okay, I've got this really good plan. I know my top people will love it, but the bottom person won't. So I need to modify it to make them happy. To me, this is one of those things where inclusion, we talk about inclusion, and then managers think, oh yeah, he needs to be included. Well, not if he's a poor performer. You could tell him, hey, look, this is going to be harder for you because you are two steps behind. On the other hand, our customers are demanding this of us, and so we need to do it. I believe it's the right thing to do. Now, if you feel that what I'm asking everyone else to do, and by the way, everyone else is on board, and you think it's too much of a burden, let's talk about that. I'll do my best to help you. And it's entirely possible that what accommodations you're asking for are so significant that I won't be willing to provide them relative to my other responsibilities, in which case you may need to seek some help from HR and get some sort of documentation of some dispensation relative to what you're able to do or not do. But look, just briefing people will reduce pushback. So you brief them, right? And I assume that most of you who are listening have listened to our podcasts about rolling out the Trinity. If you've joined us in the last couple of years because of the growth of our community because of COVID-19, oh my gosh, I really don't know how to manage people when they're, I suppose I thought I knew before when we were all in the same office. Now I really know I don't because they're remote from me. Thus, our effective remote manager conferences that have already filled up. I assume you know that you do one-on-ones first, you brief them, you answer questions, you roll them out, then we brief about feedback, and then in the one-on-ones that we are now doing, we give our directs a chance. We ask them during a one-on-one, okay, what did you think about the feedback briefing? How are you feeling about that? What's your concern? And so on. Again, this further reduces the chances that you'll get an unprofessional response when you actually start giving feedback. This is how the system works. I don't think I've ever had anyone say that to me. Hey, Mark, you know, I realized something. After I started doing one-on-ones, every other briefing I gave, not only to get more questions during, but I got questions during the one-on-ones because the one-on-ones existed to allow those kinds of dialogues to happen. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's like it's all meant to work together. So your directs as well, partly because of the one-on-one rollout, they're going to see you as prepared. Don't be afraid to not just expect questions, but to ask each direct in their post-briefing manager tools one-on-one for questions proactively in order to pave the road in advance. If you believe in what you're doing, game plan it out this way. Your direct with the crappy attitude hears a briefing. He is allowed to ask questions, but doesn't. He's encouraged to listen to podcasts that are free, and surely he doesn't. He is asked for questions in your manager tools one-on-one and doesn't have any. Is there any doubt in your mind that this is you calling his bluff in preparation for him being snarky when you actually try to give feedback? By the way, he's obviously also probably not listening when you tell him the first 8 weeks I give you feedback, I will actually be only giving positive. And so when you say, can I give you some feedback? And he gives you snark, it's because he's insecure. And just want to be clear in case there are psychotherapists in the audience. I am aware of and respectful of the people who work for me's emotional states, but the organization is not run based on their emotional states. And someone who is insecure, but whose job is failing, is still obligated to accept feedback. And because I'm their boss, I'm obligated to give it to them. I will give them support, but I will not withhold feedback because the marketplace won't withhold feedback. Look, is there any doubt that in each of these stages, he's losing some of the energy he has, the resistance energy he has? Sure he is. He's seeing you play a long game, a prepared game, a well-managed game. Now, I'm not saying that you don't get to the point where you offer to give him feedback and he still is snarky, but all of these things reduce your chances. Any doubt that this sends him a message that he has less wiggle room? No, no doubt. He knows he has less wiggle room. Even if he does act surly or snarky or with a crappy attitude, not that we're going to talk about his attitude, don't you think he knows you're going to do it anyway? Yeah, he does. So look, don't surprise your people with changes to how you manage them. Don't think that not telling them what you're going to do is safer because if you announce you're committed and maybe you're not confident enough to be willing to carry out this new effort. Maybe you want to just try feedback, but if it doesn't turn out well, you want to bail. You could do that. The problem is, it's like learning to live a life of every time I get sick, I go to the emergency room, as opposed to living a life of wellness. At some point, maybe you shouldn't trust yourself when you're 25, although that's why there's expertise and background on our stuff, the way we've been talking for years. And by the time you're 45, you will have started trusting yourself because you have built up a body of knowledge, and you'll know that the flavor of the month people are going to push back no matter what. There's a small group that always disagrees. Okay, fine. Wait till you're 45. We don't recommend it, but you can do that. The problem is you're going to be 45. You're going to become a manager, or maybe you'll be considered be promotion for director, but the person you'll be reporting to will be 35. Why? Because they trusted themselves earlier, learned their mistakes earlier, and because of that, they learned faster than you did. And look, something else too. I hear this all the time. Don't tell us you didn't brief. Don't tell us you didn't answer questions. Don't tell us you didn't proactively ask for questions in your one-on-ones because you were interested in speeding the delivery of feedback. Look, we think of speed as an enormous competitive advantage. It is in the marketplace. Be first, be smarter, or cheat. And we don't cheat. So that means we can be first or we can be smarter. And while I think we have an awfully lot of very smart people around here, the easy thing to do is to be first. Speed. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're limited by our smartness, right?
Yeah.
We could want to be smarter tomorrow, but
yeah, exactly.
But we can be faster tomorrow, much easier.
Yes. But one overwhelming result that I'm not happy about, but I'm happy to share. One overwhelming result of all of our data on managerial behavior is the directs do not like abrupt changes in how their manager behaves. How do you know that? Horstmann's middleman test. Suppose your boss abruptly changed. You might think he or she was in a private meeting with their boss and got read the riot act and they're being told how to behave now. You might gin up a conspiracy theory or two. You won't like it when your boss does it. Don't expect your directs to like it if you do. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Repeat it. Answer questions. And then tell them what you're doing when you're doing it. Look, the manager who proclaims speed is her reason for skipping all the prep work for managerial changes, like some 100-meter dash champion thinking because she's so quick off the line, she can win a marathon. I promise you guys, no speed advantage you gain by skipping right to giving feedback without briefing people on it or doing one-on-ones will improve how soon you get the results you want. And that's the only reason to do this stuff anyway. All you're doing is introducing a period of uncertainty, of questioning, of pushback. Look, something else too. Even if a change you make fails, and it happens, having announced it beforehand does not make your change worse. I don't want to publicly fail. You know, I'd rather do this on the sly and then people will just suddenly go, hey, look, we started this new thing. I didn't even know how it happened. You're crazy if you think you can hide that way.
Right. And as if your directs think that you can, every time you try new things, it's going to work every single time, right?
Exactly. Oh, totally. Look, if it doesn't work out, it gives you an opportunity to do a hot wash afterwards. You get to show your folks you're willing to try new things and fail in public.
Yeah. And they might be willing, therefore, to do some of those too.
Oh, dude, totally. If you yourself are loath to publicly admit failure on a new initiative, why are you surprised when your directs don't want to try new things? Why are you surprised when your directs hide their mistakes? Because that's what you're doing by not being honest about what you're doing up front.
Yeah, something I heard about setting the example. I don't know, some leadership course or something I went to somewhere.
Yeah.
Some institution somewhere.
Oh, when we were in the Army, the phrase that was the leadership phrase, marketing phrase was be, no, do. I like that one. So look, you'll reduce the likelihood of pushback, of resistance and arguing and questioning and general additions to what we call the Maguire hump of the Horseman curve. If you'll just tell your folks what you're doing and why. The chances that they get snarky, that they have a crappy attitude, that they tell you yes with their mouth, but they say no with every other fiber of their being will be reduced enormously if you will dot your I's and cross your T's and roll this out like a pro, as opposed to, I'm going to throw this together.
Right.
Take your time, do it right, and you'll stay well, and you won't have to go to the doctor.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll continue this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.